Well, we're thinking about mothers today, mindful of the gift that they are to us, and no doubt thinking of the many ways that our mothers have intersected our lives and the way they have been a means of grace to us along the way. I want, though, to spend just a few moments this morning considering perhaps the greatest gift that mothers give to us, and one that we rarely think about. And that is the gift that mothers give to us, the role of mothers, the characteristic qualities of mothers give to us as an insight into the very character of God in a unique and special way. Now, I'm not here to do a revisionist theology and begin to talk about God as mother. But I do want to say that there are some motherly qualities in God that that mothers reveal to us and reveal God to us in some powerful and important ways that we might not see without mothers. I want to look at four texts today. The first is in Matthew chapter 6. If you'll turn there. It's Matthew 6, Matthew 23, I'm sorry, verse 37. Matthew 23. Jesus is approaching Jerusalem on his way to the cross. He pauses here and looks at Jerusalem, and he speaks about his relationship with his people. And here's the language he uses to express it. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Okay, this is a powerful scene. Luke, in his account of this scene, describes Jesus weeping. The power of Jesus' compassion for his people, the burden he cares for them, and his expression of the depth and power of that love, he articulates in a particular way. And you notice the image he uses. I mean, I don't think it's accidental, and I don't think it's just coincidental that Christ in this moment reaches for an image that, of all the other kinds of images he might choose, would most accurately, most effectively portray what he's trying to envision, the picture he's trying to express, the nature of relationship and the feeling that he has, that he's trying to communicate to them. And of all the images that he could draw from, the one that most effectively conveys what he's trying to express is the image of a hen and her chicks, a mother for her children. There's just something about the character of mothers' care, their sacrificial care and the protection that they give their children. It's instinctive. It's built in. My mother was at a training college of when she was 19 or 20, and as a part of that time, she spent a lot of time with a family, and was a mother and a father, and they had, I think, three children. One was an infant. She was traveling with them one day in the Chicago area. And they came to a rail crossing. And for some reason, their car stalled on the rail. And I'm sure folks have tried to figure out why wouldn't you get out, what happened. But for whatever the reason was, maybe the train was there too quickly. The markings weren't what they would be today. they were hit by a train. My mother was had suffered serious leg injuries that have affected her whole life, but she obviously survived. And the mother and the father were killed. The force of the blow onto the car broke the car open and threw the participants in the car, the passengers in the car, some significant distance down the railway. As folks gathered, they tried to identify where the folks were, and they looked and they found the father, and he was dead, and they found the mother lying by the railroad track, and they found my mother, and she was alive. They found one of the children that was dead, and they found another that was still alive. But they were able to find out, maybe from my mother, there was still a baby missing. And they looked frantically for it and couldn't find the baby. Until finally they began to move the bodies, and they rolled the mother's body over. And they're cradled in her body so that her body would bear the force of the blow. They found the baby alive and safe. It's just something mothers do. I'm sure she didn't think about it. The train's coming. I don't have enough time to get out. What shall I do? Let me cradle my child in my body so that even if I'm killed. And she didn't think it through. There's something about mothers, like a hen with her chicks, that if they're in danger, she wraps them up in her arms of protection. And if it means she dies in order for her child to live, it's just what mothers do. It's the way they react. It's how they respond to their children. Do you hear what the text is saying? That's how Jesus is about us. God's love for us is so powerful that just like a mother would enfold us in her own body, that in fact, that's just what Jesus is about to do. An image that we see most clearly in mothers. A second text we want to look at is in Hosea in the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. God, through the prophet Isaiah, trying to express in the deepest way this powerful story of Hosea and Gomer, God's prophet that God calls to live in this broken relationship with his wife who is or becomes a prostitute, and the brokenness of that relationship, and Hosea living out in this dramatic way the shameless love of God for his people. It's described in this text in this way. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son, but the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, they burned incense to images. But it was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking him by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. Now, the obvious reference to women is a little harder to see in the English, but the meaning of the language, especially in verse 4, explicitly in verse 4, is motherly. When the text says, I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them, that's a specific image. The language is quite clear. It's describing a very specific thing. You know what it is? It's a mother nursing her child. God is describing the kind of nurturing care that he has. His relationship to us as his people. The sense, the desire, the the posture of God toward us that wants to nurture and feed us, provide for us, give us health, nourish our life, just like a mother nursing her child at her breast. There's just something about that. Something about how mothers nurture their children, even in difficult ways. We bristle against it, and when mothers want us to make sure we eat the right foods and do the right things and get to bed at the right time and brush our teeth in the right way and all those kind of things that we push back against mothers for, expressions of this kind of quality of mothers that they're moved to nurture, to encourage, to help you, provide for you, to guide you, to give you what you need. And God says, that's how I am with you. Like a mother leaning down to nurse her baby. Isaiah 66 gives us another picture. Isaiah 66, verses 12 and 13. And here in the culmination of this prophetic word of the vision of the future, God's work, His vision for His people. This is what the Lord says. Excuse me. I will extend peace to her, to Jerusalem, to the people of Israel. I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And Jerusalem will be comforted over Jerusalem. When God wants to communicate the message to the people of Israel of His comforting touch, of His gentle reassurance, of His desire to provide them a place of safety and comfort, He uses the image of a mother. In all of the possible images He could have drawn from, it is the one that most accurately, most clearly portrays that character of His life, that portion of who He is. There's just something about mothers and their comfort. You know, you can have a great relationship with your father, and I hope you do. But as a father, I can just say, these are not always wonderful moments for a father. You have a great relationship with your child, but when they fall, when they're hurt, you know who they call for. They want their mother. There's just something about, I don't know what it is. I'm not a mother. I don't know. There's just something about when a mother pats you on the head or put a Band-Aid on your ouchie or holds you in her lap or kisses you on the cheek. There's just something about it that in a way that just is unique to mothers. It conveys a sense of gentle comfort. And God says, that's how I feel about you. That's what I long to do for you, is to comfort you. Isaiah 49 is our last text. 49 verses 13 through 16. One more text that in a very specific motherly way, God tries to convey an understanding of Himself to us. Isaiah 49, beginning with verse 13. Shout for joy, O heavens! Rejoice, O earth! Burst into song, O mountains! Parts of Isaiah's promise, his vision, his encouragement to the people, what God does, what God's intention is. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. The people of Judah are in hard times. And the response, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Well, faced with the cry of the people that in the midst of hard times, their sense is that God has forgotten them. God poses this question. It's really a rhetorical question. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Now, sadly, we live in a time where it's possible for us to think of examples where that is true. It may be that even among us, there are stories of a broken or dysfunctional motherly love. But generally speaking, can a mother forget the baby at her breast? I mean, let's think about it. Ladies, what would your children have to do? Now, I'm not saying what would they have to do to get you irritated at them or angry with them. I'm saying, what would your children have to do for you to say, okay, that's it. I've had it. We're done. I'm no longer your mother. You are no longer my child. Can you imagine what that would be? You know, mothers, frustratingly enough, I have a brother that's a year younger than I am. He's lived a very different life, and our lives are quite a contrast. And, you know, I guess I think in a sort of logical, rational way, I ought to get a little bigger portion of motherly affection. Right? I'm the achiever. I pay my taxes, and I got a degree. But you know what? My mother loves that brother every bit as much as she loves me. And no matter what he does, and he's done some things that haven't been very kind to her, but she just keeps loving. I'm always struck. Watch the news. You'll see the news, and there'll be a report. It'll be a trial or some episode with some heinous murderer. The reports of what he's done seem to make him almost subhuman. And it may be that everybody else says this is a person that just needs to be executed, needs to be wiped from the face of the earth. Except you know who's the one person who always dissents. And sometimes they'll find her. You know, there she is, some little lady, little old lady. Well, I know they think my Bobby's a bad person, but really, I love my son. There's just something about mothers. It is hard to get mothers to quit loving their children. And God says, that is how I love you and more. When mothers have forgotten their children, even though we know they won't, but what is he saying? He's saying, go as far as motherly love goes, and I'm on beyond there. So what would you have to do to go so far that God would stop loving you? Well, imagine what it would take to get your mother to stop loving you, and then add on to that. That's what Jesus is saying to us. God is showing us something about himself. And this morning I want us to recognize that mothers are more than just caregivers. I mean, they bless our lives in many practical ways. But in this way, this morning, we want to be grateful for mothers and for the institution of mothers, because in a way that we see more clearly in the character of mothers than anywhere else in human society, anywhere else in human life, we see these particular qualities of God. It lets us see God more clearly through a mother's face. Now, I want to qualify that just a moment, because I don't want the outcome of the message this morning to be for mothers that are here to go out of this room being more aware of their own inadequacies than God's grace. And we're just human, aren't we? And none of us perfectly fulfill these. But the good news is that God is trying to send us a message to let us know that He perfectly fulfills all of these. And while you may not be a perfect mother, and none of us probably has a perfect mother in this life, we all have a Father who loves like a perfect mother, who loves us with those kinds of qualities. And mothers simply show them to us. So this morning, I want to remind you to look at the face of mothers and remember that there you are seeing, in some very special, particular, wonderful ways, the very face of God.